The ice in the glass hit the bottom with a sharp, hollow crack. The sound of a $14,000 monthly alimony check vanishing into the mahogany grain of my dining table. Julian doesn't look up from the high-resolution photographs. He doesn't need to. He's already won. He just asks if I remembered to pick up the dry cleaning, as if the last 3 years of legal warfare were just a long afternoon errand I'd managed to screw up. The air in the kitchen is 68 degrees, but the back of my neck is burning. On the refrigerator, a small blue magnet shaped like a heron holds a grocery list. At the bottom, in a looping, relaxed cursive, is the word lemons. Marcus wrote that. Marcus, who is supposed to be bringing Thai food. Marcus, whose hand is currently resting on the small of my back in the photograph Julian is sliding toward me. In the shot, I am smiling at a carton of raspberries. The sun catches a heavy gold signet ring on Marcus's right hand. A detail I'd found charmingly old-fashioned, a piece of his history he'd shared over our third date. I don't know yet that the ring contains a micro lens. I don't know that the history was a script written by the man currently clicking a gold-plated pen at my table. Click, click, click. Julian points at the second photograph. This one is forensic. It's taken through the living room window at 3:45 a.m. It shows Marcus's boots by the door and his laptop charger plugged into the outlet behind the sofa. This isn't a snapshot. It's Exhibit A. Under Article 4, Section B of our settlement, alimony ceases upon the established cohabitation of the recipient. In this state, cohabitation is defined by the sharing of a common residence and the commingling of daily affairs. The laptop charger is the commingling. The boots are the residence. I sit down. The leather of the chair is cold against my thighs. I am looking at 12 photos that document the last 6 months of my life. My new beginning. One of Marcus taking out the trash. One of Marcus using my garage door opener. One of us carrying a new mattress through the front frame. Julian leans back, the front legs of his chair lifting off the floor. He looks rested. He looks like a man who has just finished a long, successful hunt and is now simply admiring the pelt. You have to understand the mechanics of a collapse. When your world starts to fold, your brain doesn't scream. It negotiates. I stay in the chair because if I stand up, the motion makes the scene real. If I stay, I can pretend this is just a dinner party gone wrong. I am staying because I am desperately trying to find the seam in the logic. I am telling myself that Marcus will walk through that door in 10 minutes and explain that this is a misunderstanding. I am staying because the alternative is admitting that I invited a parasite into my bed because he told me exactly what I wanted to hear. It is easier to sit with a predator, you know, than to face the fact that you are the one who unlocked the gate. Julian reaches into his breast pocket. He pulls out a manila envelope and slides it across the wood. It bumps my water glass, creating a rhythmic ripple that catches the overhead light. Inside is a voluntary waiver of support. Beneath it is a document that makes the room go gray. Marcus's employment contract. The letterhead belongs to a private security and discreet investigation firm, a firm Julian's Venture Capital Group acquired 18 months ago. I look at the signature. The date of hire was 3 weeks before I accidentally met Marcus in the biography section of the bookstore. The secret hunger was so easy to exploit. I wanted to be seen as something other than an ex-wife. I wanted a man who didn't talk about ROI or market caps. Marcus talked about travel, about the way the light hit the Mediterranean, about how I deserved a soft place to land. Every word was a line item in a budget. We are looking at the technicalities of the trap now. To prove cohabitation in a court of law, you need a permanence of presence. Julian explains this with the detached tone of a university professor. He points out that Marcus's mail was being forwarded here, something I never noticed because Marcus always offered to grab the post on his way in. He points out the shared grocery accounts. He points out the key. 10 weeks ago, we were drinking a 2018 Cabernet. Marcus said it was his favorite. I realize now it's Julian's favorite. I felt a surge of wine-induced autonomy, a screw you to my past life, and I pressed my spare key into Marcus's palm. I told him I wanted him to feel at home. That was the choice point. The moment the key touched his skin, the legal definition of cohabitation was satisfied. The trap didn't just snap shut. I welded it. Julian places the pen on top of the signature line. He tells me the house will be listed on Monday, since the alimony paid the mortgage. And the alimony is now voidable back to the first date of established cohabitation. I technically owe him $56,000 in back pay. He calls the waiver a grace period. He says he's helping me. He says he's giving me a clean slate. He looks at me with eyes that have no heat in them. He is waiting for me to realize that he didn't just take my future, he took my past. He turned my memories into a billable project. You're sitting there thinking you'd fight, you'd call a lawyer, you'd scream, but Julian is the lawyers, Julian is the bank. And Marcus, I ask where he is. Julian checks his watch. He says Marcus is likely at the firm's headquarters, finishing his debrief and collecting his performance-based incentive. He tells me Marcus spoke very highly of my cooking. He says the charming stranger routine was a specialty. But Marcus actually found our conversations refreshing. I pick up the pen. It is heavy, balanced, and cold. I look at the heron magnet. I look at the word lemons. That tiny blue anchor of normalcy is the only thing left of the woman I thought I was becoming. I am signing my own eviction. I am signing away my safety. But as the ink hits the paper, a deep professional black, I realize the most terrifying part isn't the money or the house. It's the realization that I am already planning how to tell my friends that Marcus and I just didn't work out. I am already protecting the ego of the man who ruined me. I sign the final page. Julian blows on the ink, his breath hitting the paper with a soft hiss. He tells me I can stay until Sunday. He says he'll even let me keep the mattress. After all, he says, standing up and straightening his tie in the reflection of the toaster, I've already paid for it twice. He walks out the side door. He doesn't lock it. Why would he? There's nothing left in here but a woman who just paid $500,000 for a 6-month hallucination. Now tell me the truth. If you were lonely enough, if the lie was told softly enough, you'd have handed over the key too. You'd have signed that paper just to make the silence stop. You'd have sold your soul for a soft place to land. Wouldn't you?